Scotty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Nation 5, The Fanatic, Rob Motti with you. This weekend's programming is brought to you by McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Get up to $2,850 in rebates and 6 months of no payments and no interest on a new heating and cooling system from McLaughlin Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Visit McLaughlinPHC.com. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. All right, let's update. Where are we on this Twitter poll? Still, right around 45% of the people who responded think the Phillies are going to lose JT by letting him hit free agency. I think your concerns are, I wouldn't say unwarranted. There's always a chance. There's always a possibility. But I think that there's no reason to rush this right now with everything going on. With the pandemic, the fact that they might not even be able to pull off this baseball season. I'm still not sure. With everything that they have to do, that they're going to be able to make this happen. And then what? I feel like you wait until play out the season. Let JT test the market. Establish his value on the open market. You may have a handful of teams that bid on him. You may have some teams within the division who would smartly want to drive up the price for him. But ultimately, the Phillies are not going to let him go. So when they know they're going to sign him, and I really feel they believe they're going to sign him, they can wait. They can let it play out. Sixers took the court today, finally, after 4 months to the day when they played their last game. Sixers hit the court, started their practice, making more news today in the social media because Ben Simmons caught a fish and tossed it back in the water with his left hand. It's cute. You got a Sixers team that is 29-2 at home, and they will not be playing another home game. So now everything's going to be in a bubble. Everything's going to be in Orlando. I don't really feel that it matters whether they move up in the standings or stay at six. All that matters is how the team is gelling on the court, how they're playing on the court, their cohesiveness together, whether they end up, if they move up to the five and have to play the Heat, stay at the six and have to play Boston, they could potentially move up to. So there, what advantage is it to have home court? So you move up to the four and then you play Miami as a 4-5. It doesn't, since the home court's thrown out the window, everybody in the bubble, they can use the final eight games that stretch to work out some of the rust. Obviously, there's going to be rust. Guys haven't played together in 4 months. But I really feel this team's got an opportunity that they wouldn't have had if the pandemic didn't stop the season, suspend the season, and bring it back. I think if all things were equal, they would have had a tough time in the East. But now, there's a lot of wild cards. I'm not sure what's going to happen over the course of the next month to 6 weeks. If any players contract the coronavirus, if any players opt out, if some players aren't, the whole, everything's thrown off. If Joel Embiid shows up and dominates, if Ben Simmons comes out and plays aggressive, if Tobias, there's a lot of ifs, of course, if Tobias Harris, who stepped it up off the court as a leader during this pandemic, if he shows his what he can do, what he did with the Clippers, Jay Rich, some of the other guys on this team, I feel like this team's got a real chance. Real chance.
Might sound weird to say it, but I think Shake is super important.
You look at Shake as a wild card?
I think, because when he was playing like he was, and he was the shooter they need. He's the guy on the perimeter they need for someone to kick it out to. Because they didn't have that in the starting lineup. I mean, Tobias is a good three-point shooter. He's not a great one. Jay Rich is an okay three-point shooter. Horford can hit a three. Embiid can occasionally hit a three. But they didn't have that go-to three-point shooter. I mean, even Korkmaz was too inconsistent, but
Shake was at 45%.
Yeah, I mean, Shake, if he can play like he did at the end of the regular season before it all shut down, that can be a difference maker. I'm not saying it's going to put him over the top and allow him to win, but it can certainly make him a more dangerous team.
What about Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson? Little Dog and Burks.
I really didn't see enough of them.
Yeah.
By the time they really got to get comfortable, that's when it was starting to... That's when the NBA got shut down, so we'll see what type of role they can play.
Could this also help Horford, maybe, a little bit?
Oh, yeah, because from what I understand, I don't know how much truth there is to this, but apparently he was hurt throughout the season, so having 3 months off to get healthy, maybe that'll help him. And maybe a different role will help him. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm more confident now than I would have been if the season had continued as usual, because, I mean, it's hard. When the season ended and everything was shut down, confidence in the Sixers was at an all-time low. And just getting Ben back, getting Horford healthy, getting all these players rested and healthy.
Well,
I'm not confident, but I'm...
They didn't have Ben, right? You know?
I'm not necessarily confident. I'm not feeling like, oh, wow, they can win it. They can really win this, but I feel better than I did before. I'm thinking, okay, if this goes well and this goes well, they could be competitive.
There's a lot of ifs, but what Charles said the other, you know, that still stands. Like, this is a team that can go out there, struggle, lose in the first round, whether it's to Miami or it's to Boston, or it could be a team that gets it together, gels, and you see a guy like Joel step up and really dominate. Ben playing very well. All the other pieces and parts come together and they make a run. So there's a lot of, it could go so many different ways and it's going to be exciting. I don't know how much the bubble is going to affect it, because they were such a, obviously, a great team at home, 29-2 at home. Part of that is comfort with the court. Part of that, of course, has to be the fan base. And this fan base selling out the center down there and coming out and showing up and really supporting the team. I'm not sure how much that's got to be an impact, but it certainly has to be when you look at how the Sixers performed on the road during the season, 10-24. Well, now they're really, you know, you're looking at it. Do you look at them as a team? They're on the road. Is a team that's on the road the entire time, or you look at them as a team that is on equal footing with everyone else because everyone else is also on the road.
Huh. I have a feeling it was more of a home court advantage where they didn't have to manufacture energy. The crowd gave them energy when they were playing at home, and they couldn't get that going all the time on the road. I don't think it was as much of being affected by the road crowd, because they had those issues in places where they don't really have great loud fan bases that make you uncomfortable. I mean, it was basically anywhere they went on the road, they were having that issue. So I think I don't know if it's going to benefit them on being a neutral court. I guess we'll see. But I just feel like it was more of a home court thing than it was a them struggling when away from home thing. I think they need
the advantage of being backed by passionate fans.
They needed help to get energy. Because I don't know if they really had that go-to leader, that voice that gets them all riled up, because neither Ben or Joe were stepping into that role. Jay Richard said that he was afraid to step on people's foot by stepping into the role in his first year. And Horford has never really been the rah-rah type guy. He's more of the silent leader. He'll direct people on the court, but he's not really a guy that they don't have that guy who manufactures energy. They don't have, I mean, Embiid can occasionally, if Embiid gets going, But if Embiid isn't getting going and he's not getting excited, there's no one else that can get the team going and get energy, which was good about Shake. Shake was good at that. Shake,
I was
gonna
say, yeah.
And TJ was good at that when he was not. I mean, I don't think TJ was a very good player, but TJ McConnell could manufacture energy. They don't have that guy off the bench.
I think to some degree, Thibault too could give you some
on defense, certainly
some energy. So Ryan Brokoff did not travel with the Sixers to Orlando due to personal reasons, and it happens to come a few days after. So when Brown did a Zoom call earlier this week, he talked about being shocked that Brokoff signed with the Sixers because the reality of the situation with him here in Philly is that he wasn't going to be able to get that much of an opportunity. What Brown said was he was shocked. He said to mislead him about, hey, there's a lot of opportunity here. That's not true. I told him that. You've got what, six people? We all could look at each other and say, what about Matisse and Glenn Robinson and Furkan and Alec Burks? You could go on and on. This isn't an opportunity where it's clear there's a runway and a pathway at all. And that was the flavor of my talk. Yet, Brokoff said he did have an identical offer on the table from another NBA team, but that his goal was to find a steady spot in the NBA, and he signed with the Sixers. And now, a few days later, he doesn't travel with the team for personal reasons. And I don't know if it's COVID-related. I don't know if he had to stay back because we don't know. When they say personal reasons, it could be because a guy was exposed to somebody, or it could be that he's kind of like, well, I signed with this team. Coach told me might not be a lot of opportunity. Then coach goes out there and tells everybody in the media, well, I don't know, I'm shocked that he signed here because he's probably not going to play much, if at all. Why am I going to go? That's interesting. Something to keep an eye on. Obviously, the Sixers season's not dependent on it. The guy's a 40% three-point shooter in his career, and he was someone who could have been another potential option to help them hit the three, space the floor. And as of Thursday afternoon, he did not travel with the team due to personal reasons, but that could be merely because of what's happening out there, and he's got a... We don't know. So we'll see where that goes. It's interesting, though. Interesting to note. The Sixers season is not dependent upon whether or not Ryan Brokoff shows up, plays for this team. If they're counting on him to be the difference maker, they're not going anywhere. But at least they got out there yesterday on the court, had an opportunity to play together for the first time in 4 months in Orlando, at least. Now, the NHL finally came to like the actual agreement last night, and the season will resume August 1st, August 2nd. The teams are supposed to report to Edmonton and Toronto July 26th, but on Monday they start training camp. So the Flyers are going to be doing their training camp in Voorhees, correct? If they're not due to go to Toronto until July 26th, they're going to do 2 weeks in Voorhees? I would assume.
The way the NHL has been handling this has been a bit confusing. At first, they came out with what seemed like the most concise plan. Bettman did a whole big thing. And they said, okay, NHL seems to have it together. And then they were quiet for a long time. Now they finally seem to have a plan, but it's still not very clear on if they're going to be practicing together here or if they're going to travel.
The reports are saying that they're supposed to report to their hub cities on July 26th, but training camp starts on Monday. So from Monday to July 26th, I would assume the training camp is either going to be, I would think it'll be in Voorhees as opposed to that's where their training facility is, as opposed to down at the center. But training camp begins on Monday. And we know that we know that before everything was shut down, the Flyers were in a great position. Do you think coming back after 4 months, like they were on a roll, this team was riding high, making a strong move, and then suddenly everything gets shut down? As much as I think the Sixers can benefit from this pandemic and now have an opportunity because they're healthier, I think the Flyers is going to, it ends up hurting them because this is 4 months later, and I think it's going to be very difficult to recapture that momentum. I don't know how they recapture the momentum they had. Now, can they still start? Can they play well? Of course. The NHL's starting August 1st. It's a qualifying round. It's a round robin. So the Flyers, Bruins, Lightning, and Capitals in the East will determine the conference's top four seeds. The Flyers will open with the Bruins. Then they will be... It's Bruins first, and then who is it? Okay, yeah, training camps on the 13th, travel to Hub Day on the 26th, exhibition games July 28 to 30, and then the first day they're calling the qualifiers begin. So the Flyers are going to play the Capitals, the Lightning, and the Bruins, the first three games. Saturday. I kind of feel like this pandemic is going to hurt the Flyers a little bit. They'd have to I don't know how they recapture that momentum. Doesn't mean they can't do it. It certainly doesn't mean they can't do it. So, but that's where the NHL stands. Major League Baseball, Phillies are playing each other for the past week. They finally got a couple games. They're going to start some exhibition games. They got three of them scheduled in a week or so. But they've been playing against each other. Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, Jake Arrieta have all hit the mound. Today there was a Girardi announced that Zach Eflin, and I forgot what it was, but he's got a minor thing that he's dealing with, so he did not pitch. So Eflin is dealing with a little bit of a issue. I forget what he said it was. But other than that, there hasn't been any major injuries or any Phillies guys who had to be shut down. Kingery's back, taking it slow. Oh, back spasms for Zach Eflin. So it's back spasm. It's not an arm issue, so that's fine. Victor Arano's a little bit behind, not because of health issues, but he didn't have many chances to throw during the shutdown. Different guys were quarantined in different places, so that's interesting to see what guys could do. It was funny because the Phillies are playing each other, and sometimes today they had to use some of their coaches. Sam Fold was out there, assistant hitting coach Pedro Guerrero played a little bit. I got to tell Joe if he needs anybody, I'm ready to go. Where Alec Bohm saw a little bit of action at first base, which I think could ultimately be his best position. So the Phillies are out there. Sixers are hitting the court. Flyers are getting ready for a little bit of training camp starting on Monday. So here we got sports coming back. In the NFL, I told you I'd give you a little bit of an update on what I feel is happening in the NFL. And I had to do a lot of reporting this week on the protocols. We talked about it on Wednesday when I was here, the game day protocols for the preseason, even though the players still don't want to play preseason. The NFLPA and the NFL players are a little bit away from coming to an agreement on testing policies, and that could lead to a delay in training camp. The NFL initially asked for players to escrow 35% of their salaries in case anything were to happen, games are canceled, NFLPA said absolutely not. No escrow of salaries. But what they did say was keep the cap the same this year and next year. And if there's revenue losses, spread them out over the cap for the next 8 years, 9 years, and make sure all money that's fully guaranteed is paid, even if the games are canceled. So the NFL gets this counter proposal, and I'm sure they're not going to like it. And they're discussing it. So the NFL and the NFLPA are going back and forth now over money in escrow, over how much potential cancellations will affect players' salaries. So this sets up for what could end up delaying training camp. It's supposed to start July 28th, but if they continue this back and forth, it could really delay the start of training camp. We'll see. We will certainly see. NFLPA's counter proposal had players being paid a COVID-19 risk stipend of up to $500,000 if games are canceled. And it would depend on when the cancellation occurs and other factors. The NFL proposed 35% of player salaries in escrow, and the NFLPA doesn't want 1 year of players to take the whole hit. That's going to be the bottom line. We'll see how that plays out, because it could be a back and forth that delays training camp. And I don't think players will have too much of a problem with that, because they don't want to play preseason games. So if the back and forth, the negotiations don't go smoothly, the testing isn't ironed out, the financial contract situations are not ironed out, they can't come to an agreement, that pushes training camp back. NFL doesn't want to start the season later. That may force them to have to accept the players not playing any preseason games, which is whatever they do based on this offseason and the fact the guys weren't on a field, no OTAs, no mini camps, whether there's two preseason games, one or none. If they actually do kick off the season, whenever they do, it's going to be some sloppy football to start out. No doubt. It's going to be some sloppy football, and you would hope that eventually they'll be able to give you a good product on the field. But we're a long way away from that. First off, we'll see if baseball can pull this off in about it's 2 weeks, 23rd, 24th. Today's the 11th. We're about 2 weeks out. 2 weeks out from actually seeing one of the four pro sports play a actual meaningful game. 610-632-0975. I'll give you an update on the Twitter poll involving JT Realmuto. If you want to have a conversation about the contract, I think the Phillies are handling it smartly and wisely and doing what's best for the team and the organization. But at the same time, they're not going to let him walk. They're not going to let him go. They will make sure he's back. So all of the angst and the frustration, I think, is misguided at this point. We can talk about Deshaun's situation. I don't get all the outrage regarding not enough of a suspension or releasing him outright. I feel like he's really handling this situation very well right now, trying to learn from it and educate himself. And we got to give guys an opportunity for growth. Let's cancel culture, man. I'm tired of cancel culture. Let's grow, mature, and educate, enlighten. If you got any thoughts on the Sixers, I'm confident that they can make a deep run given everything that's happened, guys getting healthy, and the uncertainty of the situation. So 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Brother Scott, hang on. I'll get to you after the break. You can join the show after that. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.